Echoplex Media, boo.
Everybody, welcome to the Plex. We do this show live every Sunday at 7 p.m. Pacific right here on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/echoplexmedia. Simulcasting other places, including YouTube, where there's even somebody in the chat room right now, which is amazing. You can support this project at eplex.store by buying merch or signing up for a membership. And actually, on May 1st, some members-only merch will drop. Some of our Pride collection for this year will be up there for members only. It'll all go public on the 15th of May, but if you want it early, you can get it early. And members via the swag shop automatically get a discount on anything in the swag shop. Also, patreon.com/echoplex if you are just a Patreon user and would rather go that way, though you don't get any of the cool merch shop perks. Sorry. Anyway, I'm producer Dave. You can find me on Grindr, and this is what the people want.
I don't hate the cops,
And there's a person inside when the truncheon stops. Donate the cops. When the raiders come, who will protect the shops? Donate the cops. They're a sensitive bunch. If you don't stop throwing your rocks, snap, crackle, pop is the sound of a taser. Your body drops. Donate the cops. Donate the cops. Donate the cops. Donate the cops. Thank your local police, 'cause they don't do nothing wrong. Thank your local police. Got rid of the corruption and the racism is gone. They've been keeping the peace, keeping homeless folks out of the parks and malls. Got a cure for your social disease. Follow the law, don't hate the cops. 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 Follow the law, don't hate the cops.
First up tonight, we have a Frank Luntz does these panels with like conservatives and liberals or whatever. And a recent one that he did, I guess, kind of went off the rails in some ways. At least that's what the news article headline here from Mediaite says. So we'll take a look and see if it lives up to it all, up to the hype of going off the rails.
Well, 2024 shapes up to be a bitter rematch. Longtime Republican pollster Frank Luntz is sharing some never-before-seen video from his focus groups, sharing it with OutFront. Take a look.
Top condescending was Obama. But you? I couldn't stand to watch that guy. He just looked down on top of everybody. Trump will get down in the dirt and work with you.
So
Obama
you
would never have done that.
You want respect, but you have a president who takes on women, minorities, everything but white
males. You know
what?
He won the election. And he won.
He didn't get
and you guys can't
vote.
Handle that.
He didn't.
I don't know why he's racist. No, why you have to ask him.
That way. Yeah, why do black people hate
because
him?
He sits like, up and he says, all those Mexicans are rapists and murderers.
Yeah.
Not
what
he said.
No.
Okay. And then, yes, he did say that. Yes, he did.
He said they're sending the worst among them.
I didn't say that. You're talking about, I'm talking about he was running.
Yeah, I know. He said they send the worst among them. Some of them are rapists. Some of them are drug dealers and murderers.
They asked me what I feel.
Frank is with me now. So that's just that's a small snapshot, right? You shared a fair amount of video with us. When we look at that, you've said the country is more divided than ever. I think a lot of people would agree with you, but this video evidence, why, how, why is it this bad? What are you learning from these groups in these moments?
That there's no editing anymore. There's no censorship. That we now say what we think. We say what we want people to hear, rather than trying to learn. To me, it's not about the mistakes made. It's about the lessons learned. And no one's trying to learn anything from this. They simply want to be heard, and they will shout to be heard.
They want to be heard. Do they want to listen?
No, they don't want to listen. They don't want to learn. And my issue in this is children are watching. Our kids are watching this and they're learning model behavior. There's a reason why in universities and in schools all across America, more young people are acting out. There's more shouting, there's more aggression. And that they see it from the politicians, they see it from Washington, D.C., they see it in focus groups like
this. They may see it at a school board meeting.
And the school boards are the worst.
Yes.
Parents go there and they threaten the people on the school board. You have to get cops in there. What is wrong with this country that we've gone that far? That's my question I keep asking.
So,
oh, this is another one of those. This is another one of those. Why is the monster that, I helped create behaving like a fucking monster? Frank Luntz, get out. Get the fuck out of here. Like you, this guy is another one of those people that pushed all this stuff in this direction and is just absolutely clutching his fucking pearls because it went the direction that he pushed it in. He's not the worst of the bunch, but I mean, that's a tough hill to climb. But yeah, this is Frank Luntz. This is you. You did this. And not for nothing, you put together this fucking event where everybody fucking started, you fucking freaking out on each other or whatever. You did it. This was your event, friend. You did it for like ratings, for eyeballs. We know why you did it. Don't act all hurt and surprised when the fucking thing that you put together goes exactly like you thought it was going to go. Fucking idiot. Up next, the first day of the Trump trial happened. It was opening arguments, and as you might imagine, it was all very, very, very unfair. Just unfair. Just very unfair.
Very well.
There's the former president coming to the microphones out of the courtroom after opening arguments. Let's listen in.
A case that nobody wanted to bring, including Alvin Bragg. It was just at the last minute they decided to do it. It's a case that, if you're looking back, it goes back many, many years, 2015, maybe before that. And it's a case as to bookkeeping, which is a very minor thing in terms of the law, in terms of all the violent crime that's going on outside.
Wait, bookkeeping, that's where you do the fraud. It's a fraud case.
As we speak, right outside as we speak.
Bookkeeping is how you do the fraud.
This is a case where you pay a lawyer, who's a lawyer, and they call it a legal expense. That's the exact term they used, legal expense, in the books. And another thing that wasn't even said was, we never even deducted it as a tax deduction. So that takes a whole vast area. Most people.
Wait, but that doesn't. What? They're not saying that you cheat. In this case, they're not saying that you did this to cheat on your taxes. That's not the claim.
But they call the payment to a lawyer a legal expense in the books. They didn't call it construction. They didn't say you're building a building. It called a payment to a lawyer. Because, as you know, Cohn is a lawyer, represented a lot of people over the years. Now, I'm not the only one. And wasn't very good in a lot of ways in terms of his representation. But he represented a lot of people. But he puts in an invoice or whatever, a bill, and they pay and they call it a legal expense. I got indicted for that. What else would you call it? Actually, nobody's been able to say what you're supposed to call it. If a lawyer...
It was fucking hush money that went through your lawyer. That's not what a legal... No. It was hush money. Like, God, you could have just done this so much smarter, man. Just a fucking bag of cash, dude. Come on. There's... You know, it gets a bad rap, a bag of cash. But a bag of cash would have worked fine.
A bill or an invoice... And you pay the bill, and in the book, it's a little line that's a very small little line. I don't know if you could even write more than two words. It's not like you could tell.
It's a small little line in the books. Sir, this is all done on a fucking computer in like a database or something. It's, what are you talking about?
Marked it down to a legal expense. This is what I got indicted over. Think of it. I got indicted. I'm the leading candidate. I'm beating Biden. I'm beating the Republicans now. I have the nomination. And this is what they try and take me off the trail for. That checks being paid to a lawyer. He is a lawyer, or was a lawyer. And also the things he got in trouble for were things that had nothing to do with me. He got in trouble, he went to jail. This had nothing to do with me. This had to do with the taxi cab company that he owned, which is just something he owned, and medallions and borrowing money and a lot of things, but it had nothing to do with me. He represented a lot of people over the years. But they take this payment and they call it a legal expense. And you heard it today for the first time. This is what I got indicted over. This is what took me off and takes me off the campaign trail, because I should be in Georgia now. I should be in Florida now. I should be in a lot of different places right now campaigning, and I'm sitting here. And this will go on for a long time. It's very unfair. The judge is conflicted, as you know. It's very unfair what's going on. And I should be allowed to campaign. And whoever heard of this, you got indicted for that? People in the court just said to me, I can't believe it. This is the case.
The people in the court, just people in the court are saying, I can't believe it. You got indicted for that? This is the case. Which people in the court?
So we did nothing wrong. The other thing is, if this were such a great case, why didn't the Southern District bring it? Who looked at it, turned it down? Why didn't numerous other agencies and law enforcement groups look at it? Because it was shown to everybody. And very importantly, why didn't the federal elections do anything about it? Because this is federal, it's not state. They're trying to make it a state case, whatever. And it's not state, it has nothing to do, it's never happened before, I believe, never happened before.
None of this has ever happened before.
When the state tries to insert itself in federal elections, nobody's ever seen it. But you know, federal elections took a total pass on it. They said essentially nothing was done wrong, or they would have done something about it. They're tough, they would have done something about it. But they said nothing, and they said, we're going to take a pass. Because they couldn't even believe it. Actually, if you read their letter, they couldn't even believe it. They were incredulous. And yet, Bragg mixed it up. Now, with Bragg, if you look, when he first came in, he didn't want to do it. He didn't want to do it. Now, when are they going to look at Pomerantz and what Pomerantz did? Because that's bad stuff. And when are they going to look at all the lies that Cohen did in the last trial? He got caught lying in the last trial. So he got caught lying, pure lying. And when are they going to look at that? Now we'll go to another subject, because just a few blocks away, as you know, they had a trial on the $175 million. That's Letitia James. It's all coming out of the White House, by the way.
Wait, what?
And that's in front of Judge Engoron. And the judge really didn't know anything. He didn't know about collateral security. He said, supposing it goes down. Well, it doesn't go down because it's cash. I put up $175 million in cash, and we have a bonding company do it. And he challenged the bonding company that maybe the bonding company was no good. Well, they're good, and they also have $175 million of collateral, my collateral. But the judge didn't know anything about it. He didn't know what the $175 million cash meant. He had no idea what anything meant. And he had no idea what he did in the trial.
This is really great. The judge that is presiding over one of my trials is incompetent, doesn't know anything. This is fucking smart. Fucking insult the judge on TV.
Charged me hundreds of millions of dollars on something where I'm totally innocent. But if you look at what happened today, Judge Engoron should not have done that trial. Should have gone to the business division where they have complex business trials, but actually it should have never been brought.
Because which is it?
You know, they say I overestimate. If you look at the numbers, they're underestimated.
That's illegal too.
They did the opposite of what they said.
But that's illegal too.
And the reason that they tried to, and they did it for their own narrative, they valued $1 billion asset at $18 million. They valued other assets in order to build their narrative. They want to build a narrative. But if you look, and I have a complete record of what happened, Judge Engoron had no idea what was going on, didn't understand the most simple concepts. And this is the man that took a case, and this is why businesses are they're moving out of New York, because they can't be subject to this. They'd be put out of business. They're moving out of New York because of it. But Judge Engoron had absolutely no idea what had happened. He didn't realize we put up.
The trial is to try to find out for sure what happened.
75. When he found out we put it up, he said, what happens if it goes up or down? I said, it doesn't. Or they said, it doesn't go up or down. It's cash that we put up, all cash. Very few people could do that. And the deal was approved with the Attorney General, if you can believe that. But the deal was approved. She just tried to embarrass everybody, and she tried to embarrass a very good bonding company by saying they weren't creditworthy. Well, they were creditworthy, and what was more important is they had a security, $175 million that I put up. But the point here is that the judge had no idea what was happening. And this is the same judge that 2 months ago made a ruling that shook the world. It shook the world because everyone knows going to that trial, I did nothing wrong. And over here, I did nothing wrong also. This is a Biden witch hunt to keep me off the campaign trail. So far, it's not working because my poll numbers are higher than they've ever been because the public understands that it's a witch hunt. Thank you very much.
Mr. Trump, most likely you're in the SS politics. Are you going to serve
It shouldn't have been brought, but it should have been brought to the business part where they understand the business stuff, but also it shouldn't have been brought. This is a witch hunt and the judge in the other trial is an idiot and fucking this is all Joe Biden's doing. Like, no matter what, it's just like, it's just everybody else's fucking fault, man. I don't know what's going to happen next. Here we go. Here's Steve Bannon with some advice for the former guy.
Thursday's also on another topic, the immunity situation, one of the most important arguments in the history of the Supreme Court. Of course, President Trump won't be there. If I was President Trump, I'd go to the immunity thing and let him put me in a jail cell. And I'd go to Barron's graduation. I'd do both of them. Say, come on, dude. Stand up to him. Just do it. See the chips fall.
That's dumb, actually. I'm not a legal expert, but not showing up for your fucking court date is bad. And so for the case in front of the Supreme Court, he wasn't summoned, right? If he was summoned for the case in front of the Supreme Court, whether or not a president has absolute immunity, which is a scary idea, then he would certainly be the judges in any other cases that he might be a part of would be like, well, you've been summoned by the Supreme Court, so we're going to have to take day off. Actually, you've been summoned by the Supreme Court, but he's not been summoned. Why the fuck does he? I don't even know. Is he fucking allowed to go in? Even if he went, like, are they going to let him in? I don't know how that works. Anyway, up next, we got, everybody actually just pays off porn stars. This is just what you do. Everybody does it. This is from Fox and Friends and Friends and Friends and Friends.
So since they have said that the statute has expired, but they're still going to do it anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, I used to do political opposition research for a living. The amount of politicians that have paid people off, do they all stand trial now? Because this is what they're essentially saying. And there's a ton of them.
Yes. And, you know, look, we don't know if Donald Trump's done this in the past, long before he decided to run for president. I don't think
would that benefit him to bring that up?
I think it would. I think it could be potentially embarrassing for him. But, you know, we don't know if this is something that he's done his whole life because he doesn't want bad stories about himself.
But it didn't affect the election in 2016. We knew that going into that election.
Right, we did.
The people voted for him. They knew about Kara McDougal. They knew about Stormy Daniels.
That's right.
But your point on that is if he's done it his whole life, it shows it wasn't part of an attempt to influence a campaign.
He doesn't want bad stories out there about himself.
But wait, no. If he's done it his whole life, that just shows... Wait, what? No, that... It could have been for different reasons at different times.
If we get to the campaign contribution aspect of this case, they still have to reconstruct compensation for an NDA into an illegal, an unreported contribution to himself. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole thing is just, it requires such a leap.
Right. Yeah.
It's good stuff. Thank you, Carrie, so much.
Thanks, Carrie.
Fox and Friends continues to be one of the absolute dumbest fucking shows on TV. Here's more evidence of Fox and Friends. It's from the same, looks like it's from the same segment. Here's just more evidence of Fox and Friends just being just absolutely fucking brain dead.
consequence of this case that could be life altering for the former president. And these are that's in the hands of these 12 people.
Does this set a precedent for other people who want to run for president? What if they've done something like this in the past and they could say, oh, well, they told me in eighth grade they wanted to run for president. So since they paid off a girl when they were 30 years old, then that was election interference.
Right. Because they knew that somehow in 30 years they were going to be president. So they're trying to contribute to themselves and not report it. Exactly. This whole thing is crazy. And
that's the fucking timeline. Now they're just inventing the fucking alternate timelines. Well, what if he fucking figured out when he was 8 that he wanted to be the president? Then when he was 30, he paid off somebody. Well, that's not the timeline, so it doesn't matter. Up next, we got Jesse Waters. We got two Jesse Waters. This one is a former guy. He's just too old to sit in a courtroom all day, which is one hell of a take, all things considered. When you think about what they've been saying about the current president, that he's like too old to do things. This is weird. Maybe Jesse Waters is turning on President Trump, former President Trump. Who knows?
But the guy needs exercise. He's usually golfing. And so you're going to put a man who's almost 80 sitting in a room like this on his butt for all that time. It's not healthy. You know how big of a health nut I am. He needs sunlight and he needs activity. He needs to be walking around. He needs action. It's really cruel and unusual punishment to make a man do that. And anytime he moves, they threaten to throw him in prison.
It's cruel and unusual punishment to make the defendant show up at a fucking trial. What the fuck? This is fucking some crybaby shit, right? They're like, oh, the liberals are all crybabies. Well, what are y'all doing? This is some crybaby shit. This is amazing. This is all amazing. I'm continuously impressed by how stupid this is. And here's more of Jesse Waters talking about the former president and the court case. It'll probably be just as dumb as the last one.
They're draining his brain and his body. Now, I don't like to sit. They say sitting is the new smoking. You're going to take a man who's usually golfing or in action, and you're going to sit him in a chair and freezing temperatures and just let people rip you.
Freezing temperatures, do they mean an air-conditioned courtroom?
Anything. 4 days a week, 8 hours a day. That takes a toll.
It does take a toll. I think that President Trump will withstand that toll because he's an extraordinarily resilient individual.
Yeah, having to go to court sucks. That is definitely true. Being charged with things is not fun. We don't generally put that on our list of favorite things if that has ever maybe happened to us or whatever. Not fun. Not the best. Here's the former guy. He's going to talk a little bit about Kim Jong-un. Man, I wish we had better choices. I just wish we had better choices. I wish America was a better country.
But the following morning, after I said, you remember the fire and fury, do you think Biden talks like that? No, he doesn't. He doesn't know what fire... This guy is the worst. Again, I would have never talked to him about this way. But do you think that that had an impact? Because the following day, I got a call from South Korea that Kim Jong-un would like to meet. And we met. And it was a great meeting, and we got along, and you were no longer in any trouble. But I'm telling you, if Hillary Clinton had gotten in, you would have had a nuclear war. He expected to have a nuclear war, actually. And he is a warrior. He's a tough guy, smart guy, and he's the boss. And you would have had a nuclear war.
He's a tough guy. He's a smart guy. He's the boss. He would have had a nuclear war. What the shit? Come on, man. I've been doing this show, doing a Sunday news show for fucking quite some time now. And I just feel like I'm running in the dumbest circle in the world. Up next, we got former Attorney General Bill Barr. Apparently, it was just kind of normal for the last former president to discuss like executing people. I don't know. I think this guy's trying to defend Trump here, but it's not going great.
I hear from a lot of Republicans who defend Trump saying, well, that's a hypothetical and that's ridiculous. But Alyssa Farah Griffin, who was Trump's communications director, posted yesterday and said that you were present at a moment when Trump suggested executing the person who leaked information that he went to the White House bunker when those George Floyd protests were happening outside the White House. Do you remember that?
I remember him being very mad about that. I actually don't remember him saying executing, but I wouldn't dispute it.
You know, I mean, it doesn't sound. I mean, the president would lose his temper and say things like that. I doubt he would have actually carried it out. I don't, you know.
But he would say that on other occasions. You said
the
he
president.
Would lose
his temper. The president had a. I think people sometimes took him too literally, and you know, he would say things like similar to that in occasions to blow off steam. But I wouldn't take him literally every time he did it.
Why not?
Because at the end of the day, it wouldn't be carried out and you could talk sense.
But just because it's not carried out and you could talk sense into him, doesn't that still mean that the threat is there?
No.
Like, this guy's like the head of the executive branch of the most powerful country in the world. But I don't take him seriously. And just don't take it so literal. It's that's your problem, that you're like listening to what the guy says and believing that he's telling you what he's telling you. That's your problem. You're just an idiot. And the hits keep coming up. Next, we got Marjorie the Gathering. She is an election expert, so she's going to give her analysis. Possibly. Oh, here it goes, finally. These websites that host this video are great, let me tell you.
This is different. They're angry on a whole nother level. And here's what really worries me. They're done with the Republican Party. They are absolutely done with Republican leadership like Mike Johnson, who totally sold us out to the Democrats, joined the Uniparty faster than anyone we've ever seen in history, and literally made a night and day change in a matter of months. Betrayed everyone, betrayed the entire Republican Party, betrayed Republican voters, betrayed the Republican conference. And voters are so angry this time, but I'm really worried. I am really worried. They're so angry they're not going to give us the majority back in 2025.
Oh, yo, she's like trying to fucking call to have the speaker removed. And there's rumors that if she like brings that to the floor, that there's two or three Republicans in the House of Representatives that are going to just fucking resign on the spot. And then there won't be a fucking Republican majority in the House. Oh, that's the funniest outcome. That's what I'm hoping for. Honestly, it's like the dumbest outcome, just the absolute dumbest possible outcome. That's what I'm here for it. Up next, we got the former Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy. He is seriously one stupid motherfucker. I don't know how these people get any of their power or influence. Check this out.
Right.
So why wouldn't
Twitter
the president?
But
to be fair, why wouldn't the president take a different position? Why wouldn't Joe Biden, caring about the voters, saying, you know what, this is wrong. If I have nothing to do with this, they should not have this trial right now, so the American people could actually spend time on what the issues are.
Hold on. So
I think that would be the real position for this Biden to take.
So you're saying you did want President Biden, or you do want him to meddle with the justice system just in favor Donald Trump?
No, I want his opinion to be fair. I want his opinion to look for the American people in fairness. Who in America thinks it's right that if Joe Biden was in trial right now beforehand, or that President Trump? And really, they've already looked at this issue how many times? And really, from the standpoint...
A lot of people passed on bringing those charges. That's why I said what I said.
Yeah, the feds already looked at it.
All right.
So look, I actually think that if I don't care who you are, if I'm subject to the courts, you should be subject to the courts too, whether you're the former president, current president, whatever. Actually, I think there's a famous, we're a nation of laws, not a nation of men, or whatever. I mean, that's not true, but like that's how things are supposed to go, or we're supposed to at least like fucking pretend that's what's going on, but we're not even fucking pretending that shit anymore. It's just like, well, the president he can't be indicted. And it's like, well, that's why you would think that would be the person who would have the most scrutiny under the law would be the person who's in charge of the executive branch and senators, congresspeople, etc. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Speaking of not making any sense, up next is Lindsey Graham talking about why he voted against this border bill that failed. And, I think at the end, he actually tells you exactly why he voted against it.
Let me say one thing up front. There is no border security in this package. I regret that. I wish there were. They should be. The bill from the Senate, I voted no regarding the border security provisions. I thought sort of inadequate at the task on parole and a few other things. My hope was it would get over to the House. We could negotiate a stronger border security package. That did not happen. And I regret that. So everybody who comes on this floor and says our border's broken, we should do something about it, you're absolutely right. And unfortunately, we didn't get there. President Trump opposed a Senate bill. We couldn't find a better way forward.
Yeah, but he's not a senator.
I hate that, but now we have to deal with what's left for us in, to take care of in the world. So the
so the main reason that a lot most people are speculating that former President Trump opposed the bill is because if this bill were to pass, it would be harder for him to run on the fact that there's like fucking chaos at the border or whatever. So there's two things that could have happened. One, Trump just torpedoed it, or two, and I think this is very unlikely because the Democrats are a feckless and useless political party. But maybe they knew this was going to happen, and so they did this to embarrass the Republicans. But who fucking knows? Who fucking knows? Up next, we got a GOP representative, Victoria Spartz, talking about the January 6th insurrectionists.
I know there is a lot of discussions about, you know, January 6th, and I've been in the chamber January 6th, and I'll tell you something, you know, we call this insurrection. I'll have to tell you, if the people that show up there wanted to do it, they would have succeeded, but they didn't show up for that reason. It was people that were upset because the quality of people came there, they were mad because we are not governing for the people. And that's unfortunately what was very strange to me, that Speaker Pelosi didn't have a security. Speaker Pelosi insisted for us to stay in the chamber, but I personally demanded,
what?
Demanded to leave that chamber. So a lot of things, you know, the other side dropped the ball. And it was very unfortunate for me to see that. So I think this is beyond the subject of this matter, but we need to stop, you know, accusing people that disagree with the government that have been very corrupt and oppressive, you know, to actually come here and, you know, express peacefully their dissatisfaction. And
we watched that. They stole a door.
Who they are. But we don't call all people insurrectionists. This is just un-American to do it. And I'm sick and tired of the other side constantly doing it because I knew a lot of people that were there in the crowd and they're good Americans, patriotic, that love this country.
How did Lenka Coloma get in the fucking, get into the House of Representatives? She, I guess her feud with a Mr. City of San Clemente is over and now she's a member of the U.S. House. Up next, we got Mitch McConnell didn't do so great on Face the Nation, if you could imagine that. Let's watch together.
You are leader for another 8 months, but you've said you're going to stay and serve out your term. Donald Trump may again become president. According to our latest CBS polling, 79% of self-identified Republicans told us that the source of information they most trust on Ukraine and Russia is Donald Trump. This sentiment doesn't seem to be disappearing. How are you going to counter that?
What I want to do and what I'm focused on is not the presidential race, but getting the Senate back.
But this isn't the race. This is persuading public opinion.
Yeah. I think the single most important thing I can do is make sure my successor is the majority leader, no matter how the presidential election comes out. I think the fact that our nominee basically decided not to continue whipping people against the package was a good sign. And I'm going to be advocating increasing the defense budget, no matter who gets elected, and preparing ourselves for the long term, which is China, Russia, and Iran. This administration budget requests for defense haven't even kept up with inflation.
You said the Republican nominee decided not to whip against the package. In other words, stop telling lawmakers that not to vote for it. But we know Donald Trump is not a fan of Zelensky. Viktor Orban, the prime minister of Hungary, recently had dinner with Mr. Trump at Mar-a-Lago and then told reporters that Trump said he won't give a penny to Ukraine and that'll be the way he forces an end to the fighting. If that's the fundamental belief of the man who's going to be commander-in-chief, how do you stop him?
What I'm doing is trying to change the Senate so that we have a majority, no matter who wins the presidential election. I can't control that. I have some influence here in the Senate. I intend to use it, no matter who gets elected president, to increase our defense budget and get ready for the challenges that we have ahead of us.
But that's a challenge where you might have to be the firewall against your own party and its leader again.
I've been willing to do that. I had something to do with changing opinion in the Senate on this issue, and I think a lot more of my members now understand the importance of it.
You wouldn't just, come on, man, just be like, this, what the guy wants is fucking stupid. Just say something, man. You're like 114 years old. You probably have that job until you die because of the state you're in. These people are just, this is a fucking dysfunctional country. Like, just a fucking broken democracy, or sorry, a broken republic. Up next, we got Lev Parnas, who is an honest broker, obviously.
And lo and behold, 2 days later, all of a sudden, we get a phone call from the general, the friend of the general prosecutors of Ukraine, Yuri Lutsenko, saying, "Wait, we're in New York. We'd like to meet with Giuliani."
What a coincidence that must be!
Right, like 2 days later, to meet with the Attorney General Bill Barr. So you know, we called Giuliani. Giuliani was like, "Holy shit! Absolutely, bring him in, because that's who we need. He's the one that could give us the current records." So we set up the meeting, and Lutsenko comes in, and it became a very awkward meeting because Lutsenko comes in with the perception that he is the general prosecutor meeting with like the ex-prosecutor, you know, Rudy Giuliani, and that he was on a mission to meet with the current prosecutor general, Bill Barr, and he wanted to discuss criminality between the Templeton Fund and money that was going in from Ukraine to America. Had nothing to do with the Bidens or anything else. It was about a real corrupt money laundering scheme that was going from Ukrainians to America and then back to Ukraine. So Giuliani stops him right away and says, "We're not here to talk about the Templeton Fund." And if he goes, "If you want that," he goes, "you could hire me and I could help you with that." He goes, "But unless you have direct information that could help us with the Bidens and the corruption and Joe and Hunter Biden, you know, don't waste my time. We have nothing to talk about." And Lutsenko was really taken back. He couldn't understand, you know, in Russian, he would tell me like, "Wait a second, I'm the general prosecutor of Ukraine. Like, I want to meet Attorney General Bill Barr. Like, what is the problem?" So I go, tell that to Rudy, and Rudy's like, "Look, you want to meet Attorney General Barr? The way things work here, you have to pay a lobbyist, and they will get you in there. So you could pay me $200,000, and I will introduce you to Attorney General Bill Barr." So Lutsenko gets taken back again. He's like, "What the hell is going on over here?"
Yeah, that's the right answer. That fucking other diplomat is like, "Are you just telling me to bribe you?" Because that's what I saw. That's what I hear happening here. It's like, "Oh, actually, what you need to do is bribe me."
We stopped the meeting. Giuliani tells me, "Listen, go work on him and make sure that, you know, tomorrow he brings us the goods." So that evening I go meet with Lutsenko and, you know, and Igor. They get drunk, you know, and Lutsenko's pouring his heart out to me like he can't believe what just happened. Like, you know, he looked.
Yeah, you and your friends solicited a bribe
to Giuliani, like, he, you know, as his hero, you know, all this stuff. And here Giuliani's basically shaking him down for $200,000 to go meet the Attorney General Barr. And, you know, I did my job. I calmed him down. I talked him into it. I explained to him that, "Listen, you know things, how things work all over the world. And this is just how things work in the United States. I mean, you got to play ball and to get what you need to get."
Why are you just going around talking about bribes like that, man? You know what? At least he's telling the truth. Because that's a wild story, but I do actually fucking believe his story. That sounds very believable to me. Every week, about halfway through our list of news stories, we have a bit of a palate cleanser because, like, you know, we need something a little bit fun. So this is a video. This is the mom who wants her son to be gay. This is I watched this twice before the show. Actually, it's pretty funny.
Hey, hon, do you want to watch Drag Race tonight?
No, I have homework.
You always have homework. Give it a go. You might really like it. And, you know, with most things, you don't know until you try.
What?
Bought your jacket today.
Oh, cool.
It was on sale.
Oh, that's not really my style.
Well, what do you mean? You put this on, you could slay. I want you to know you can express yourself in whatever way you want.
Yeah, but that's not how I want to express myself.
But maybe it could be. Did I hear you watching gay porn?
What? No.
Okay. No, that's good. Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna go make dinner.
Why do you seem upset?
Hey, Mom, did you leave all your makeup on my desk?
Oh, my God. Yes, I did. That's my fault. I'll go grab that later tonight. Also, you know, if you want to experiment with any of it, hon, you can tell me anything, okay?
Mom, I'm not gay.
All right, so why did I get you vaccinated?
Ah, that's a good skit. Good skit. Usually our palate cleanser is an animal video, but we didn't, I didn't find any animal videos I wanted to run. That's amazing. Very funny stuff. And anybody who's interested in the links that we're using tonight in the, if you're watching live, you can hit bang docket in the chat and get that. And if you're listening on the podcast, the show notes for the show, the links for the show are always in the show notes. Up next, we got showers. Are they good for you? Maybe Greg Gutfeld doesn't think so.
Before, I just want to hear your take on this, Charlie. Because clearly,
it's
not
about a stigma. It's called manners.
Yeah.
You don't want to smell bad for other people.
So you don't take multiple showers?
No, showers are terrible for you. They're awful.
Huh? Wait, what?
Are you serious?
What? Oh, I take showers if I'm going to be around people. Well, but this is why you live on a farm. You live on a farm. You don't have to take showers. No, but you keep your distance.
Are you slapping the hogs and then not?
Wait, I thought it was going to be Gutfeld. Who's this guy?
Sure.
Oh boy.
It's good for you.
Oh boy.
Showers are terrible for you,
Shannon.
What? You don't have any evidence.
I just want to get like some X and spray you down.
How do you say it's dangerous for our health? I don't know. E. coli is dangerous for our health. Well, right? But I'm with the judge. Like eating bugs, walking around. Everybody just apparently wears pajamas now, not taking showers. I don't know. And they wonder why population rates are down.
This is
wait, what? Oh, she had to bring up the birth rate shit.
About you every day. Today we learned you don't take showers.
America doesn't shower?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Up next.
Fox is the Five is the second worst show on Fox News, but that was pretty good. That was pretty good. The worst show on Fox always being fucking Fox and Friends and Friends and Friends, but that was pretty funny. That's weird. I mean, if I don't have to go out or whatever, like I didn't hop in the shower yet today. I'll probably take a shower before bed or whatever. But my God, must have been a slow news day over there at the Five. I don't know. Just a weird fucking hill to die on, honestly. Up next, we got Laura Trump. She's an election expert. She's an expert at elections.
Now have the ability at the RNC not just to have poll watchers, people standing in polling locations, but people who can physically handle the ballots. We want people all across this country.
Can we do this? I want to hear. This is really fascinating to me. So
yeah.
You have 100,000 people who are they? I think I saw paid at one point, but whatever, irrelevant. But so they will be stationed inside polling places. I didn't even know you could do that. Tell us about it.
Yeah. So there was a moratorium for about 40 years on the RNC actually training people to work in these polling locations and the tabulation centers where the mail-in ballots come in. And last year, the judge who implemented that passed away. So that was lifted. And that gives us a great ability as we head into what I assume everyone understands is the most important election of our lifetime.
So she just said that she's not just going to, that they're not just going to have poll watchers, but somehow that the people associated with the RNC are going to be counting ballots. I think you're not supposed to do that. I'm not an expert, but I think you're not supposed to do that. sounds a little like Shasta County to me. Up next, we got this particular thing came out today, but we're just going to watch the teaser for it. This is Donny O'Sullivan. He is a treasure. And here's maybe if we can find this, we can watch it during red light. Although if I think it's for CNN and they're pretty litigious, so maybe we won't watch the whole thing during red light.
Sunday.
Would you like for me to pull up the definition of journalist?
That's okay.
Is the rise of misinformation tearing America apart?
By now, everyone knows Taylor Swift is a government psyop. You don't believe Taylor Swift is a government psyop.
I don't know what to believe.
Donny O'Sullivan reports from the front line.
But also, of course, there's a separation between church and state.
No, that's another lie that's been portrayed by the left.
In the battle for facts. The whole story with Anderson Cooper. Sunday at 8 on CNN.
Oh, I don't know if Taylor Swift is a psyop. I don't know what to believe anymore. Me either, friendo. Me either. We've seen some shit here that you fucking probably would not believe. Up next, we get Scott Galloway. I listened to one of his shows, actually. I listened to Pivot. It's that's his show with Kara Swisher. They talk about tech and business. Usually, the show's pretty good. I used to think Scott Galloway was like kind of reasonable, but just like more, I don't know, old and kind of get off my lawn than I am. But recently, he has shown that he is not actually all that reasonable. Here he is complaining about TikTok.
And I do think there is a double standard. I walked by NYU last night. What I saw was peaceful protest. But I can tell you, if I went into the NYU square with a white hood on and said, lynch the blacks or burn the gays, my ID would be shut off by that night. And I would never work in academia again. There would be no...
Well, yes, actually, yeah, but that's correct. You shouldn't... Yeah, you would lose your job, actually. Yes, if you did that publicly. Not only are you... university professor, but you're a well-known public figure. So yes, if you did that, there would be a swift and harsh backlash, Scott. That is correct.
Need for the words context or nuance. I wouldn't be protected by terms like First Amendment or free speech. I would be out of the world of academia. It seems like we have a double standard when it comes to hate speech, as long as it's against Jews.
And we're not just talking about exercising of free speech and protest, which we agree people have.
So wait a minute. This is a problem here. The problem here is that this is, first of all, there's a lot of disproportionately represented in these protests are the Jewish students, so far as I know. But they're not, these aren't anti-Semitic protests. These are protests of the continued bombing campaign and the continued invasion and the long-term occupation and apartheid regime that is happening in the nation state of Israel and being imposed upon the Palestinian people. This is what the protests are about. This is incorrect. The person that the thing with the white hood that he talked about, that's actually the people who American Jewish folks and Jewish folks in Europe have to be afraid of. See, the right wing nationalist types, a lot of Christian nationalist types are into conspiracy theories that always end up blaming the fucking Jews. This is not that. This is not that at all.
There are spaces on campus for that. It's what they're saying is the harassment of Jewish students. So what is that? Why is there that double standard? Because of course you're right. You don't even have to say it out loud. If these things were being said about black people or gay people or Latinos or Asian or anybody else, forget it. Shut down the school. Everybody's expelled. Why is there still that double standard?
Why are you supposedly a journalist just taking this man's word for all of this?
Complicated. I think one, young people have a healthy gag reflex on what people our age think. And I think that's healthy. Two, I don't think Israel has draped itself in glory over the last 20 or 30 years. They've shifted from being kind of the David to the Goliath. I also think that incorrectly, students on campus conflate the civil rights movement with what is going on in Palestine and have digressed, unfortunately, because of an orthodoxy promoted by me and my colleagues that there are oppressors and oppressed. And the easiest way to identify oppressors is how white and how rich they are, or fairly or unfairly,
what?
Israel is seen as rich.
Oh, no, that's that fucking CRT shit. He's fucking complaining about CRT.
For whiteness and how wealthy they are. And then what might sound paranoid, but doesn't mean I'm wrong. I think we are being manipulated, specifically youth, through their frame for the world is TikTok. And if you look at TikTok, there are 52 videos that are pro-Hamas or pro-Palestinian for every one served on Israel. I think that we are being manipulated. I think Americans are easier to fool than convinced they've been fooled. But if I were the CCP, I'd be doing exactly the same thing. I think social media is sowing division and polarization in our society.
So he doesn't bring up that American-owned social media sites, even Twitter and the Meta-owned sites, Facebook and Instagram, have similar ratios of pro-Palestinian rights posts versus, like, I would say like pro-Likud government behavior posts, which are kind of weird. So yeah, this is not just, it's not just TikTok. That's the thing, is he has to know that. He spends his time. He does a podcast about technology and business. He has to know this. Are the ratios exactly the same? No, but they're similar. So I don't know what to tell you. Up next, it was just more evidence that I think that you have to have your brain removed and then put in the sous vide machine and then put back in your fucking head before you go onto the Hill, any of the Hill's TV or video productions.
Now, of course, you know, Pecker, the former publisher for the National Enquirer, is talking about brokering this deal to suppress the Stormy Daniels stories when Trump was running back in 2016. So an interesting person to be back on the stand. And I want to point us actually to something we haven't covered yet, which is what Trump's attorney said, which was, quote, "We will call him President Trump out of respect for the office that he held from 2017 to 2021. So that's what Todd Blanche said to the courtroom. As everybody knows, it's the office he's also running for right now. But I realized that the media has this tendency to intentionally have, you know, reporters and commentators say former President Trump. But I would say
that's accurate.
President Bush, and we're not going to get confused and think I'm assuming he's in office right now, or President Carter or President Lincoln. It's just what you say about someone who was president. You don't say former President Bush, former President Obama.
I bet you can find plenty of that.
It's a little unnecessary. We have the context.
It's a little unnecessary to refer to the former president as the former president. My God, what the fuck is going on over at the Hill?
Well, I don't know. Is this some kind of liberal scheme of paranoia after the 2020 election aftermath and January 6th to really intentionally be like, you guys were not successful in your coup. He is the former president, not the one right now. But it is weird and kind of unnecessary.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. We were talking about it a little bit off camera.
No, it's not.
Because it is something that the media is very particular about, and they don't do it with people like Obama or Bush, as you mentioned. President is an honorific.
I bet you could find, president is not an honorific, it's a job title, you idiot. You could probably find tons of clips of the media referring to former presidents as the former president.
And you should still address people by it even after they leave office, similar to how if I ran into a former congressman, I would still call them congressman because that's just the polite, proper thing to do, and they earn that title, and so they get to keep it for the rest of their life. It's an interesting question, and I'd be curious to know why they're so emphatic about that as well.
I'm curious to know why The Hill is a popular, or why it just is the way it is. I'm just very confused. Like I said, I think that they deep fry your brain or some shit before you appear on The Hill. That's the only thing I can think of. Anyway, did you know that Hamas is coming for the Missouri? Hold on, I have to look at my notes here. The Missouri Secretary of State. I don't know if you knew that, but it's happening, and they should be careful. And here's why.
There's a lot of Hamas people coming for me on my social media. My address is public, so fuck around.
I usually don't play clips that short. Hamas people coming for me on social media. No. There's fucking like people who probably support the rights and are sympathetic to the plight of the Palestinian people who are talking shit to the fucking Secretary of State. Not Hamas isn't coming for her. Anyway, this person, she sees both the angelic and the demonic, which, okay.
Not only do I see angels, but I see demonic as well.
Yes.
Not all of you, by the way, not everybody can see both. Some people do see just angelic, some people see both, you know, or just demonic. So,
okay.
Don't discredit yourself if you're like, well, I don't see demonic. That's okay. It's okay. Okay,
probably don't want to.
I see both. So they're ministering right at a hotel. My assistant and I look out the window and there's this guy and he's staring me down and he's got red fiery eyes and I'm like, and I'm like, that's not a good thing. And she's like, is that a good thing? You seen an angel? And I'm like, nope, that's a principality. He's staring me down And I'm like, what is that? And he has the word pride on him.
Ooh.
And he said,
uh-oh, it was a gay demon, everybody. Fucking gay demons.
I'm a strong man of pride. And he said, I own this land.
What?
And I'm like, whoa. Now, I know that seems far-fetched for some of you, but...
Yeah, I don't believe you.
We need to see what's in the region. There's principalities and strongholds.
Yes.
Regionally over areas. And so I prayed. What we did with that, here's the strategy the Lord gave me, is go to the pastor. Because he's been working in this area for years. So he has authority in this region. Okay. So we got with the pastor. We got the leaders together. And we prayed to repent for pride. See, what breaks a stronghold is repentance.
Oh, for fuck's sake. There's a fucking gay demon in a fucking pride shirt that was like, I own this place. I don't know. I'm not sure where she fucking came up with that. That's a pretty creative story, if you ask me. Up next, we got Rudy Giuliani actually is going to receive a message from God. This is from a MAGA prophet, Julie Green, who's going to deliver a message from God. I know if I was a God, I would just have some random lady who used to work for Trump deliver all my messages. That's how I'd handle it. I'd be like, I got a message for you, but you got to go through Julie Green.
This is something that the Lord gave to me and gave to you. This is back in February 25th of 2022. This was 2 years ago. This is what the Lord had to say about you. He said, Rudy Giuliani, I am vindicating your name in this hour. You will be rewarded greatly for standing up for truth. You have what you need to destroy every narrative regarding 2020. It is that time to move forward with a plan that you have been given. The walls that have been built up against you have come down. No longer will they control the narrative. Speak, my son, and do what needs to be done. I am with you. I have not failed you. I will give you the strength to stand and face adversity. This is the time it will be different. It is not the time. Is now the time for all that.
She got a message. That sucks too. You get a message from God and fucking Julie over here waits fucking 2 years to give it to you.
You to fall and to fail. Rudy, I have raised you up in this hour and I have given you everything you need to overcome and to come out victorious in the end. So move, my son. I will direct your steps. So God was giving you that encouragement. That no matter what, he has raised you up for this time. And you have been going through persecution. You have been going through these things. You have all these court cases against you. But God is the ultimate judge. And it says in Psalm 75, verse 7, that God is a judge over all the earth. So I know you've been in court many, many times because you have been a lawyer. And God is saying that you face many judges. But he is a judge over all the earth. And he is the biggest judge. And there's no judge on the
even Rudy Giuliani's like, whoa, did you see that?
Can stand against Almighty God. And so I just want to give you that encouragement the Lord.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much. You don't know what that means. I mean,
I don't know what that means either. Timing. Nobody knows what that fucking means, if we're going to be honest here. I just like that Julie got this message about Rudy Giuliani from God 2 years ago. And she's like, I'll wait a while. I won't tell him right away. It's just a message from the fucking Lord above. I'd be mad. I'd be like, what do you mean? Why'd you wait 2 years? What if that was an important message? What if it was like something more important than whatever that was? Like you left your stove on when you left the house and your house burns down because Julie over here doesn't have time to let you know what God's fucking telling you. Up next, we got Kent Christmas. That's a pretty good name actually for a televangelist. And he's going to tell you why it rules, to be a prophet.
In 2020, I prophesied again that George Bush would be president of the United States.
Wait, what?
Or Donald Trump would be president of the United States. I've had a whole lot of people come after me with bare teeth and say, you missed it. I didn't miss it. I never prophesied that he would hold the office. I prophesied that he would be voted back in as president of the United States.
Well, that didn't happen either, Kent.
Voted back in as president of the United States.
Being a prophet's easy, right? Because you get it wrong. You just go, well, I mean, I don't know. You could either go, that's not what I meant, or the thing that I said actually did happen, and you're just a dumbass for not believing me. Any number of things that you could do here. That's why being a prophet is easy, and there's so many of them, and none of them are ever, there's no need to be accurate. No need to be accurate. Up next, because basically every episode of this show, or any show, we end up talking about Shasta County in some way, shape, or form. Here's Sean Feucht, otherwise known as Sean Fucked, and he's got some views on anti-Semitism and student protests that are a little bit weird.
And as you know, we're seeing this rise in this flood of anti-Semitism across the world. Yes, these are the end days. I know people say all the time, everyone's saying it's the end days. Jesus said it was the end days 2,000 years ago. Well, it is the end days. And we're one day closer to the return of Jesus. And as that ramps up, we're going to see a rise of evil. We're going to see a rise of glory. And we're going to see a rise of hatred for the Jewish people. And I think right now in America, I would have never imagined we would be at a place where university students in state-funded schools would be marching across their campuses, shouting death to Israel, death to America.
Burn, I don't think that's what they're shouting.
The ground. I mean, it is unbelievable what we're seeing. Scenes like this that haven't really been broadcasted since the 1930s. And history seems to be replaying itself. And so in light of that, as many of you know, we are gathering tomorrow night on the campus of Columbia University for a United for Israel march. And
so if you could imagine, not too many people fucking showed up for his thing. They were grossly outnumbered. And nothing bad happened to them. Nobody was evil or fucking violent to them or anything. Nothing. I mean, they probably made fun of them or whatever. That's all. Because you got to make fun of that fucking ramen hair motherfucker. Up next, we got Elijah Schaefer, a name we haven't said in a while. And even more stunning, a name we haven't said in even longer is, what's this guy's name again? What's this prick's name? Jesse Lee Peterson. And here's Elijah Schaefer and Jesse Lee Peterson talking about the trials and tribulations of having to work with and for women.
I was going to say that's the wife there. Wait. That's on our family.
Sorry about that.
I was going to say I'm actually hoping, as well as we're growing our family, I want to have more boys. Cause let's talk about marriage. This is a very serious topic here.
Let me just say that. Are you married to a white woman?
Yeah. Why? What
the fuck? We need more white babies. So you guys may as many white babies as possible, because over here in the U.S., we've been told that white people will become the minority in a couple more years. And I tremble at that idea that white people will become the minority, because if they do, it's over for America. It's nothing, because if you really pay
attention. So the thing here is the white folks would still be a fucking plurality.
Of color, they're not innovated. They're not motivated. They don't really create stuff. They just follow behind the white people and they take their stuff and they destroy it. So, and that's why we have in July, we celebrate White History Month.
Wait, what?
And this is our 7th year coming up of celebrating White History Month, because we want to remind white people, rather than having abortions and not having children, y'all need to have as many white babies as possible, because white people are the—
I mean, this is gross, but it's this, you can't not laugh at this.
For whatever reason, and I don't understand, I do understand why, but it's not fair, it's not right.
Oh, that goat didn't do anything to get put on this fucking show.
Species on this side of heaven for no reason at all. And they blame all the people of color, blame you for their failure, blame you for their inability to take care of themselves and do for themselves. They think that white people are so superior, they call them white supremacy. So they're like worshiping the white people by believing that whites are better than them. And rather than trying to learn from you, well, how do you do that? How do you do this? Why are you so innovative? They try to destroy.
Why are you so innovative?
Rather than learning from you. So make sure you and your wife have as many white babies as the Lord say so.
Heck yeah. You know what though? That's true. I think we're shooting for six. That's what we're going to try for six, but I put that up there. That's I have a little, blonde hair, blue eyed little Aryan king here.
What the fuck?
And, that's the wife there. That's on our family farm. And that's nice. The new baby.
Critical
goat.
Support to that. Somebody save the goat.
Give birth.
Save the goat. Somebody, please. Like, we love goats around here. Somebody, please fucking rescue that goat. And we got one more story before we go into red light tonight. One more clip. This is RFK Jr. Going full Citizens Commission on Human Rights about mass shootings. Citizens Commission on Human Rights being a Scientology front group. Anytime mass shootings happen, the Scientology front group, CCHR, puts stuff out saying that it's because of psychiatric medication and mental health care that's causing all this. So here's RFK Jr. just being like, whatever, hold my Thetan.
We have mass shootings every 21 hours. So the question is, why is that happening? SSRIs have black box labels and benzos that say,
yep,
caused, known to cause suicidal and homicidal behavior.
Correct.
It says that.
Right.
Okay. And we're the only country that has this level. 120 million, 240 million doses a year of these.
Correct.
And all of a sudden, and after Columbine, that's when it started happening. So I'm not saying there's other things that could be, too.
Yes, yes, yes. I understand.
It could be video games. Mm-hmm. It could be social media. There's a lot.
It could be a lot of factors.
There's a lot of factors, but correct, we should know what it is, because one thing we do,
access to firearms.
It has nothing to do with the number of guns.
It's not maybe the number of them, it's the access to them. So Scientology never goes so far as to say it isn't the guns. They just say that it's the psychiatric medication, because that's like their fucking, that's the drum they like to bang, right? They never say that it's not the guns. So he's gone out even further on that limb than the fucking space alien cult has gone out on that one. Not great. Not great. But luckily enough that there's almost a zero chance that guy's going to win, and people think he's going to take votes from Joe Biden. And I think he's actually going to be taking more votes from Donald Trump than he takes from Joe Biden. But we'll see how it all shakes out. We'll see how it all shakes out. We got interesting things in red light. We got a clip of sore loser Carrie Lake. We got a Roseanne on the Russell Brand show. We're going to check in on little Nikki Fuentes. We got chemtrail potato and microwave pulses. So, and then of course after that we'll do the crazy thing I do, where I just look through the YouTube, the very cursed YouTube YouTube account that we use to broadcast on here, and we might hit up Odyssey or Rumble even. So, podcast listeners, I gotta say goodbye to you. Though, if you want the rest of the show, you can always get that eplex.store. Subscribe at any of those levels, and it gets emailed to you. Get it a day early too. You get the full audio and video of the show. Plus you get discounts on all of our merch. And you can do patreon.com/echoplex too. $5 level or higher, you get all that stuff. But I'd prefer that you do it through my shop at Fourth Wall. Split's a little bit better, but mostly I just prefer Fourth Wall. And I guess that's it. Live viewers, stick around. We're not going anywhere. I'm just going to change the color of the light in this room. Change the contents of my beverage. And we'll do some of the cursed content I mentioned a moment ago, and other cursed content that we will find along the way. This is Boomers by Periscope, and I'll see everybody on the flip side.